so much speculation about the book. How would you feel if your character doesn't make it in this book? Do you have any feelings about that? Are you sort of hoping?
I wouldn't really mind if it was a really cool scene. It's like a really cool way, but I feel like it's quite a... In a way, it isn't really Max, it's the last one, but I think, no, I'd like one to sort of survive. I don't know, there's a lot of rumours going around, I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the outcome is.
I haven't really contemplated it. I'm sort of thinking that she's going to make it, I don't know why, but I think she's going to make it. I hope so. I'm such a big fan of the books, and I remember with the Philip Pullman trilogy and his Dark Materials, I remember just at the end, just knowing that both of them were going to live on. Sorry, this is where I remember, I know I'm just assuming that everyone's read the books. Just like when you know that the heroines of each book are going to live on, and but you don't know, but like, I hate like endings that don't wrap themselves up. And that's really, perfectionism me, or I really like there to be an ending. So in a way, it would be nice to like, for there to be some sort of like, right, this is what happened. That's what I'm saying, but it would just be nice like, to sort of, you know, it would be nice like, to sort of wrap the characters up, sort of knowing like, which direction they're going in, and what, you know, like, hopefully, you know, Hermione will have a really cool career in something rather, or be doing something really, like, really great with her intelligence, or, like, the Harry Voldemort connection they want to really sort itself out.
I would like Harry to die, because I think that is, as you say, that's a conclusive ending. But I'm still going to steer away from that, because the next day, so the headlines was Radcliffe wants Harry dead. Which is, you know, awful. I do think it would be fitting, in a way, because I think that he's, you know, when you consider the prophecy that was made about him and Voldemort, and things like that, one of them's got to go. I don't know, to be honest, there's nothing you can say, because I don't know. I think he might, but that's based on absolutely nothing, you know?
Are you surprised at all that the Benny nods are that Harry's doomed?
No, not at all. Oh, yeah.
There are bets on it. Really?
There's like the Las Vegas odds.
Really? Oh, man.
Are you serious?
I'm hilarious. That's
right. If you stop taking bets, that it's overwhelming that Harry's going to die.
That's interesting. The public must really love me.
Well, just before I bash into the Betty short, but it's one thing that's in here. I'm here for the interview with Dan and you know, all the way you guys were in Alpha and assuming all sorts of leadership and things like that, how easy did you find it to become leaders and teachers of Dumbledore's Army? How did you guys?
I don't know, Ron isn't really either of those two. No, I really loved doing those scenes, they were really good fun, because it was really good because there was sort of like a really good sort of atmosphere on the set, and got to do loads of stunts as well, which was really cool.
Yeah, you did have to do,
yeah. Yeah, like, I got pulled back on a wire, because me and Hawaii had children.
And
Jordan?
Had underfloor lighting, and it had whole place was ruined. And so in every shot, you would have to have fires in the all around, so they would be in sort of reflecting all the mirrors, which meant that set seemed to be sort of
it was like walking into an oven. And the worst thing is that it's an enclosed set because it's a door, and so everything was closed off. So it's just like, oh my god, it was so hot. It was so hot.
No.
No.
We weren't cruelly treated.
What thought have you each given to your careers post Harry Potter? What would you like to be doing next?
You go down.
Alright, it's I suppose just keep acting and hope and do really interesting and different things and you know, and hopefully just continue to find things that are really difficult for me to do and challenge me. And so I don't become complacent or whatever. So I would just carry on really. I'd like to write, I suppose, as well in very, very long way, but that's enough for me. Yeah, I suppose for now it's just hopefully it can work out. No, just sort of pining to me.
Yes, I suppose it's the same with me. I'm really giving it much thought, to be honest, but I think I definitely want to continue acting, and I kind of just sort of see Tim goes from there. If it doesn't work out, I've still got to leave my screen.
It's like, in this sort of, you can't really say this is what I want to do, because it's not really your choice, This business is completely unpredictable. You never know what films are going to be being made, what work is out there. It's kind of, you just got to ride the, just see what's out there, really, I guess. But, ideally, I'd love to try some theatre at some point. I'd love to do a period drama, there's loads of different things I want to do. I also really love to sing, and I love, I'm not watching a singer anymore. I love to do something which has music in it, or I don't know, there's loads of things that I'm really interested in, but it's just what comes up really, and it's also just what works in terms of scheduling, and cause I've also got the next two Harry Potters to do, and jumping out of school and stuff, and so next summer I've got some time, so sort of aiming to get something there, but again, it's just, I don't want to do something just for the sake of it, I really want to wait for the right things to come along, and and it's just to do the right thing, and hopefully well. But you just gotta see what's about and get yourself out there and watch lots of different bits and just.
What do you study?
English literature, geography, art, and history of art.
Does each film having a director at the helm have a different feel to it on the set while you're making it, or do they all sort of run together and like you said earlier, seem like one big long film? And how is this feel different?
I think this time around we felt a lot more relaxed, and I think it's David sort of makes you feel really calm because he's really laid back. Definitely a contrast to Mike Neill, which is a bit wonderful.
Such a very big British character. There definitely is a different, atmosphere with each director. Just with regards to their personality, they sort of set the pace of the day. But with this one was kind of as Rupert said, kind of quite laid back, sort of quite chilled, quite kind of. It was quite a nice atmosphere. I always felt like David had time to talk to us about what was going on, and he always had time to listen to us and for us to talk it through and sort it out and just really think about it, which was nice.
And for me, even more important than that, David has time to talk to us. He doesn't just talk; he talks to everyone. Mm. He's just a lovely man, he's an absolutely. We're very lucky because he's this fantastic. fantastic director. He's a delightful man. Mm-hmm. He's very, very laid back, incredibly softly spoken.
Yeah.
This might all need to be here.
Yeah, to be like.
He's very, very quiet, but he's just fantastic. We're incredibly lucky to have someone like him to direct us.
Yeah.
And also, it was more laid back, but at the same time, there was the energy that was there. It was very quiet energy, and it was really, it was incredibly focused. And he knew from the moment he got onto the set the kind of story. The story he wanted to tell and the way he was going to do it. And so the energy that was there was A, as I said, really focused, and there was a real drive and ambition with Dave to make this one the best one yet.
Mm. Yeah. Also, I remember this was amazing. If you can imagine coming into a series, like the fifth film in the series, and if you consider the size of the cast and the amount of actors you're dealing with, and that crew members you're dealing with, it never actually occurred to me, because I just didn't think about it, that David actually managed to learn everyone's names by first names, and he really made an effort to do that. And it wasn't just me, Dan and Rupert, it was everyone in the cast who made sure that he knew their names. He went and spoke to them, he knew them as people, he really made an effort to sort of become part of the crew and the team, I really admired that. I was like, wow, that's really, I really respected him for that. I think that's really cool.